6. But before I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 26, I'm going to title my sermon this morning, Dig Again the Wells. You'll understand when I read here in Genesis. But before I read in Genesis chapter 26, may I quote you a verse that I think maybe will help us to figure out what's going on here. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, we read this: "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Now, y'all, water is only for living people. Water is only for thirsty people. Dead people don't need water or want water. So when it's talking about this water out of the wells of salvation, it's talking about water that God's children can draw out of the wells of salvation. I think we just had some of that as we sang, "Just As I Am." God is so good. And I am firmly convinced that the child of God that comes to meeting thirsting will have his thirst quenched by the water of the Word. Don't you know God knows if you're thirsty or not? God also knows if you have a bad attitude. Does he not? That's what's spooky, isn't it? I make a motion we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Truth will save you. Truth will save God's children. You can pretty much put that truth in any area you want to, which is what I might do today. Okay, so draw water out of the wells of salvation, okay? And we're supposed to do that with joy. I know God can even bless an old grouch. But why are y'all laughing? Oh, because it's true. But don't you know, we have a better attitude, we might get more out of it. Okay. Genesis 26. Isaac is now older. Abraham's dead and gone, I think. I may be wrong about that. Just let me read here. And don't forget now that Abraham gave everything that he had to Isaac. I really want to bear down on that. A solemn obligation that we parents have is to give everything we know about God in Christ to our children. This is going to sound blasphemous. They'll figure out enough about the Razorbacks. Seth disagreeing with that doctrine right now. Seth doesn't agree with that doctrine at all. I'm not saying don't watch the Razorbacks. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's something more important than that. For me, it's bluegrass music. I got hooked off. Listen, Kevin Kennedy sent me a video this week of a song by... I'll declare. Anyway, the song is, "You'll Never Get Out of Harlem Alive." You'll never leave Harlem alive. I've been all week long figuring out the chords and all that on that song. I've been obsessed. Did you know there's something more important than the song, "You'll Never Leave Harlem Alive"? Patty Loveless. That's who. Patty Loveless. There's more, something more important than Patty Loveless. Something more important than reading history of biographies of John Adams. Young people, are you listening? One day you're going to be parents. Let me tell you what job one is. To give your children everything you know about God and Christ. To train them in it. And then maybe they'll be able to move beyond. I need your prayer so bad. This may be a long sermon. I told John and Seth the whole time that I was raising them, we were raising them, and I tell them today, you must wind up being better than I am. You must. Otherwise, society's crumbling around us. Say amen, church. Okay. Abraham gave everything that he had to Isaac. Genesis 26:13. And the man waxed great, Isaac, and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now I'm interpreting that to mean that he was even greater than his father Abraham. His father Abraham having given him everything that he owned, and Isaac now going forward from there. Now, and I know right here we're speaking of physical riches and everything that Abraham gave to his son, but may I say, spiritual riches are more important. I don't worry one second about whether John and Seth will own more than I do. I mean stuff. Bigger houses, bigger trucks and stuff. I don't worry about that one second. But I do worry about, will they have the true riches? Will they? Have I given it to them? And I am ashamed I did such a sorry job. You all understand what I'm saying? Okay, all right. And I was going to read this without interrupting myself. Look, I made one verse. It's pitiful. Chris is looking at me over the top of her glasses because she knows I can't do it. Okay, let's see how we can do now. Start over, Chris. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Well, so, I mean, I see beautiful lessons there. First of all, may I just say, the Philistines, what are the Philistines wanting to do throwing dirt and trash in the wells of water? The Philistines were Now, I'm not saying that they were not God's children, but they were mean people. They were warriors. And they're wanting to stop up the wells of salvation, fill them full of dirt and trash. Of course, nothing like that's going on today. The wells of salvation are being stopped up with trashy doctrine. Man-centered doctrine. The wells of salvation are currently in the year 2022 being stopped up with trashy practice. Trashy family life. Amen. Trashy marriages. I mean, just think about how much trash and dirt has been put in the wells that Abraham digged in the 21st century. Does it not blow your mind? Not to mention trashy politics. Since I mentioned that, when will America learn that her politics must be based on Christian principles just like everything else? When will we learn that? Anyway. So the Philistines had, so Abraham's servants had dug these wells back in the day. Now the Philistines have stopped them up with dirt and trash. What is Isaac doing? He has to dig again the very wells that his father dug before him. Are you listening? Now, I do think that eventually Isaac went on beyond. I might not get to it today, and dug new wells. But before he could do that, he had to dig out the wells that his father had dug years before. And there, y'all think about it now. It's in exactly the same place that his daddy dug. Y'all listening? What, doesn't that kind of... And not only that, he even called the wells the name that his daddy called them. Well, let me ask you, and by the way, y'all listen, this is literal historical truth. This happened in the life of Isaac, and the lesson that God is teaching us is so powerful. Because look, Abraham's digging the wells. Abraham dug the wells for himself. In the meanwhile, the world fills the wells with trash. And the next generation has to dig the wells again. The very same wells. In the same spot, dug by daddy, you got to dig them again. Dig again the wells. Are you listening? Now, is this redundancy? Is it redundant? I can hear a snot-nosed teenage male. I'm going to say male, so the ladies won't get mad. And the reason I know about that, I were one. Incidentally, I am still male. I will never be anything other than male. Same in church. You talk about some trashy doctrine. Anyway, I am male. Always have been, always will be male. But I trust I'm not snot-nosed like I was at age 14. And the snot-nosed average American testosterone addled teenage male will think to himself, I don't want anything to do with the wells my daddy's dug. The old fogey, the old goat. He's 14, 15 years old. His prefrontal lobe is awash in testosterone. And he's addled. And he thinks he knows more than his dad, who's digging wells of salvation to drink water out of. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Do you see how important this is? May I say, every generation must dig again the wells of salvation that the previous generation was involved in digging to. You know what? Here's something that's ironic. I said something a minute ago about the Philistines stopping up the wells of salvation with trash and dirt, and they do. But you know what? We will stop them up ourselves with our natural tendencies if we're not real careful. Amen. The same Bible that calls you saints, and I call you saints as well, every one of you. I call you saints, which according to the New Testament is one of the elect in the New Testament. That's what you are. The same Bible that calls you saints calls you sinners too. I mean, that's just the way it is. I want to share something Brother Don said to me 35 years ago. Now, you know, Brother Harold said so many things to me. Brother Don said so many things to me. Brother Edward Kegel. And it's funny because I was in Brother Don's presence here several years ago, and I asked him about some of the things he'd said to me, and he said, I don't even remember that. And I said, it is seared in my memory forever as long as I stay sane. Some of the things that Brother Don and Brother Harold said to me. Isn't that great? Brother Don said to me, when you hear somebody preach something really good, or you hear them explain a verse or something like that, learn from it. But what you'll have to do, if you're going to preach it yourself, are you listening to my brothers and sisters? Brother Don said, if you're going to preach it yourself, you have to make it your own. You have to dig it out yourself. You cannot, even though you learn from the others, learn, you've got to dig it out on your own, and that is so true. Otherwise, I would just be a parrot preacher. That's what Brother Don was after me about. Some of the stuff Brother Don said to me, see me after church and I'll tell you a story when he told me he's going to kill me if I did something. Brother Harold and Brother Don were talking about something somebody did, some preacher did, and Brother Don looked at me and said, if you ever do that, I will kill you. And he meant it. Oh, he was going to put me out of the folks' misery. I'm going to say something here, and it hurts me to say this. I don't see enough youth digging the wells. just don't see it. Just to be blunt, I don't see enough middle-aged people doing it either, and I don't see enough aged people doing it either. But what worries me is the youth. I know I drive the youth to Point Remove crazy because I love them so much and everything. I just drive them nuts. It's because they're in a formative era of their lives. I don't see enough youth digging it out for themselves and making Bible truth their own. I don't see enough middle-aged people doing that either, and I don't see enough aged people doing that either. This is why the Bible describes how each and every one of us must press into the kingdom. Press means work. You know what? You know, I want you to try to imagine how, okay, these wells are in Palestine. It is a semi-arid region. Digging them is hot, hard, tiring work. You want to know why youth won't do it? Why middle-aged people won't dig the wells? It's work. And it means we must put our flesh aside. Amen. But if you want a good, cool drink of water, you got to dig a little deeper in the well. Amen. May I be so bold as to say, this is mean. Listening to preaching isn't even enough. You've got to dig it out for yourself. Did you know that's why Paul said that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica? Because the Bereans went home every week and searched it out daily whether what they heard was so. Ooh. Okay, this is going to be mean. I wonder how much trashy preaching would be going on in the world if the congregation read their Bible and called the preacher to task on his error. That's mean right there. That's just purity mean. I mean across denominational lines. Oh, that's mean right there. Can I say the world is constantly stopping up the wells with dirt and trash, and it takes guts to dig them again. Can you say amen? Now, let me before I turn to the New Testament, I want to read a couple places in the New Testament, and I'm not going to preach long. I've done hurt your feelings so much. You say, get down out of that pulpit, you nut job. That's what Brother Dickie called himself. Now, you're not allowed to call Dickie Habgewalks a nut job. Can you believe he said that? Oh, my. The fact of the matter is that Isaac dug the wells again. The same wells his daddy dug. Are y'all listening to me? He dug them out again for himself on his own after his father's death. And then after he did that, I think the scripture would bear us out in Genesis 26 that he went on beyond where his daddy was and dug some new wells also. This is my heart's desire and prayer to God for the youth of America today. Dig the wells again. dig them again. And sometimes I might think, sometimes just to be honest with you, I think we might have to dig them again in our own lives. Do you know how often I dig the well of the doctrine of total hereditary depravity? I dig that well all the time. I'm always digging in the well of total depravity. I'm always digging in the well of unconditional election. I'm always digging in the well of the imputed righteousness of Christ, which Sister Eddie and I were talking about this morning. You are going to heaven, my friends, not because of your righteousness. Listen, your righteousness, such as it is, isn't really righteousness anyway. It's dirty rags, bless your heart. I love it when the congregation helps the preacher preach. You're not going to heaven on your righteousness. You're not going to stand before God in your righteousness. You're going to stand before God in the imputed righteousness of Christ. This is why we're called joint heirs with Christ, and everybody in heaven will be on the same plane with Christ. I dig that well all the time. I'm all the time digging the well of atonement. I'm all the time digging the well of the resurrection. I'm all the time digging the well of how men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. And that takes more guts than almost anything to make proper biblical decisions for your whole family based on the Word of God. And you sisters may be mad at me. That's worse, harder, tougher than being a submissive wife. You may disagree with that. Now that is not to say that that sometimes being submissive has got to be hard, because us men, we're hairy-legged men. You know, men, we're not perfect. I tell you, well, you know what's great about being a member of the Lord's church? You lose it with me? Married to the Lord in His church. And the great thing about the reason it should be easy for us to submit to our husband, he never makes a mistake. He's always right. I've made mistakes. As a husband and father, I have forbidden Becky to even speak of them. She is not allowed to tell you. If I want you told, I will tell you. Do we husbands and fathers need to dig again the wells? Do wives and mothers need to dig again the wells? I'm going to tell you right now, femininity is about lost in this country. Femininity. Feminism has destroyed femininity. Come on now. That's mean right there. That's just purity mean. Chauvinism won't work either. I'll say that so you ladies won't be too mad at me. Chauvinism won't work. Feminism won't work. Neither one of them will work. What works is God's word. That's all that will work. I wonder if we might need to dig again the wells of proper gender roles. Might we need to dig those wells again? Every generation needs to dig those wells. Quit listening to your psychobabble professors. All right, does that mean, because I know the ladies are mad at me right now. Some of you ladies are mad at me. Because I done said feminism done destroyed femininity. That does not mean that Gary Harvey cannot unload the dishwasher. Guess what? I do that. I can even wash clothes. If it isn't too complicated. Yeah, Becky's sneezing at my preaching. She's sneezing at that. That makes her allergic. And the woman in Proverbs 31, that godly woman in Proverbs 31, that woman whose price is far above rubies, she brought money into the home. Go read it. She did business, brought money into the home. Ignore Becky, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. Y'all with me? Maybe we need to redig those wells a little bit. What do you think? And I tell you, well, we need to redig for sure. My goodness, we sure enough need to redig how to parent children. Let me tell you, one of the biggest mistakes you can make is to give your ask your child what he or she wants about every single thing. Honey, do you want, what do you want for breakfast? What do you want? Vodie Balcom says, I never ask my children what they want because they're going to want sugar. They're going to want Captain Crunch. The reason I said, Seth got a box of Captain Crunch in his closet right now. I've seen it. You know what you do if you have the child-centered attitude that you ask the child everything that he wants to do about everything? Honey, you want to go to church this morning? Do you want to go to church this morning, honey? 2 years old. Do you want to go to church this morning? Are we going to church? You know what you do? You are engendering self-will and pride in that child. Mr. Ezzo, y'all remember Growing Kids God's Way? You people took Growing Kids God's Way? Mr. Ezzo said, I don't even ask them whether they want the blue or red cup. I said, you're drinking out of the blue cup. Well, that's mean right there. No, it is non-child-centered parenting. Since I said that, I might as well say this and just cut this limb off and y'all call a new pastor after church today. The next thing is child-centered church. Change the church for the children. Change it all. Ever heard of that? Any of that going on in the world? The gospel of Jesus Christ is one size fits all. It is for everybody, old, young. John the Baptist enjoyed it when he was in his mother's womb. Say amen, church. Rhett has learned from even my crazy preaching. Preaching is for children. It's for babies. It's for toddlers. It's for the 94-year-old. It's one size fits all. So why do we change the church for the children? Why do we change the whole plan? Why do we? Where's that in the Bible? Oh, man, I wasn't gonna say all this. I don't know. Here's something I wrote down on June the 16th of 2022. You want to hear it? You're fixing to hear it. Do you all understand now why you're my favorite congregation? You put up with me. I don't think anybody else would put up with me. The church is supposed to change people, not change for people. How's the church going to change people if it changes for them? Okay. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, dig again the wells. I want to refer to Brother Dickey's masterpiece sermon a couple of weeks ago. Who's the real Jesus? May I say that we, each generation in this room, from the youngest, I don't know who's the youngest today. I know who's the oldest. I keep picking on Sister Elaine. But each generation must dig again the wells. And maybe it does get harder to dig again the wells as time goes along. I don't know. But you've got to dig them anyway. All right, you hear me, church? It's dig them or not be saved. And I don't mean eternally. Is it work to dig them? Yes. Do I like digging? No. The other day I had to dig some little something like wore me out. Oh, are you listening? Dig again the wells. The same ones your mom and daddy dug. The same gospel wells. Who is the real Jesus? What is the real Jesus like? The real is it the real Jesus that won't ever call anybody's hand on what they're doing? That just says, okay, whatever you do, okay. Is that the real Jesus? Maybe we need to dig again the wells of who Christ is. Who is Christ? What is Christ like? What's Christ's opinion on this, that, the other? What do you all think? Okay. Let me read you a couple of passages in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to warn you against getting the itchy ear syndrome. You don't need to get the itchy ears. I charge thee therefore, Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the ministry, preach the word. By the way, it would be curious how Paul would tell Timothy to preach the word if the word isn't on planet Earth. My friends, this is the word of God, or we don't have it. But hallelujah, we have it. And Paul is telling his son in the ministry, and every young preacher that will listen to me for 5 minutes, I tell him the same thing. Your job is to preach the word. It is job one to feed the flock. Preach the word. Be instant. That means urgent. This is serious business. There's no more serious business than to stand in front of a congregation and tell them they need to dig the wells again. Y'all, this is what will save America. This and this alone. You can forget politics unifying America. The gospel is the only thing that will unify people. There's true unity and diversity in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means be ready. It's serious business. Be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. May I say, one of the most important wells any generation needs to dig again is the well of sound Bible doctrine. And it can't be based on what we think, feels good to us. Did you know it doesn't feel good to be told that you're an undone, bankrupt, hell-deserving sinner? That does not stroke your ego. Does it? And yet the irony is, you show me a child of God that has been trained, that has dug some in these wells, and when the preacher tells you that you're an undone, bankrupt, hell-deserving sinner on your own, you say amen and weep with joy. And when you weep with joy, that's because you're a child of God and you know something. Isn't that great? And you know that Christ came to save sinners, of whom Paul said he was chief, and of whom Gary Harvey says he is chief. And probably you feel the same way. Dig again the well of sound Bible doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having the itchy ear syndrome. Itching ears, in other words. We will not put up with this preacher. We will get us one that will tell us what we want to hear. And we'll set up a church that tells us what we want to hear, and we'll join the church that tells us what we want to hear instead of the one that preaches the Bible doctrine. Now, that's mean right there. That's just mean. But I tell you right now, every generation is going to have to dig again the wells of sound Bible doctrine. The Bible doctrine that describes God as He is and man as he is. How absurd is it for me to base a theology on what I wish men were? Amen? Nope. We gotta go with what the Bible says about man. I ask you, who do you suppose might know the best, have the most inside scoop on what man actually is? Who do you reckon? Your local acupuncturist? Or might not the God of heaven, who knows all, know best what we are? Not only what we are in Adam, y'all listen, he also knows, are you listening? He knows what we are in Christ. And boy, you think there's not a difference there. Did you know the Bible teaches the idea that what Adam did affected all that were in him just the same as if they did it? Same Bible that teaches that, teaches that what Christ did affected all that were in him just the same as if they had done it. This is why Christ is called the last Adam. Isn't that great? I make a motion, we dig the wells of sound doctrine. Sound Bible doctrine. Okay. Don't get itching ears. And say, well, I want someone that'll stroke my ego. I want someone that'll tell me I'm great. I want someone that'll tell me it's up to me. I decide. I didn't decide which family I was born into, did you? If I had, I would have been born into somebody that had more money than my poor daddy. I would have been driving, absolutely. Right? Especially if I go back to that snot-nosed, testosterone-addled 15-year-old I was describing earlier. Dig the wells of sound Bible doctrine. And let me tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to have to do that by reading the Bible. Other books are okay, but your steady main diet must be the Word of God. And begging God, show me what you would have me know. Now then, turn over just a couple of pages in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Just a couple of verses here. I've got 11 minutes. This has been a trying sermon, I know. I know. It's trying for me too. Titus 2, just a little bit here. Listen to this. But speak thou the things which... This is Paul speaking to another son in the ministry. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Y'all get the idea that sound doctrine matters? You remember what Dickey said about Christ being a doctrinal Christ? Christ was very doctrinal. Let me interrupt myself. I'm not going to tell you where this is. Babu, you'll have to ask me after church. Oh, man, we're going to find it. Yeah, this is familiar. You'll know this. Listen to this. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's the doctrinal Christ teaching unconditional election and total salvation in the finished work of Christ. That's John 17:2. Of course, y'all knew that already, didn't you? That's one of Brother Harold's very favorites, one of mine too. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All of you, from Abby up, if Rhett were here, I'd say Rhett up, from the youngest up, you must dig again the wells of proper biblical sound doctrine. It's the same thing your mom and daddy learned, the same thing your grandpa learned, but you got to dig it out for yourself for it to be yours. You must make it your own by your own effort. My students always wanted me to tell them the definition of a word. I would never do it. I made them work for it. I said, you go look it up. They had to work for it so it means something to them when they got it. Are you listening? Do you know that I had hotshot psychobabble people in education try to tell me that you should never make your students look up a word in a dictionary? And you know what I did with that? I ignored it totally. When you work for something, it means more to you than if you don't work for it. Say amen, church. How many of you value money now more that you've had to work for it than you did when it was given to you? Amen. Same thing is true. Dig again the wells, every generation of sound doctrine. Then he goes on. Listen to all the stuff that's involved in sound doctrine. Let me read here to see if I cannot interrupt myself. Chris will not believe it. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity and patience. The aged women. Now, I'm not going to speculate which of us is aged. I don't know. I'll just let you figure out if you're aged or not. Isn't that funny? I know. I just interrupt myself, Chris. I know. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, staying off Facebook. Oh, no, that's not in there. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Did you know every generation of young ladies has to dig again the well of loving their husband? Every generation of young men has to dig again the well of loving their bride as Christ loved the church. I had to dig that well. To be discreet, ladies, you're supposed to be discreet. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Might there be some wells need to be dug out here? I wonder if the world's throwing trash in these wells. That the word of God be not blasphemed. I'll stop there. I love you so much. Dig again the wells. Thank you, Brother Mike.